Tarquin. During the reign of Ancus Martius, there came to Rome a man named Tarquin. He was not a Roman by birth, but he seemed to Ancus Martius so wise and strong, so ripe in judgment, and so upright and honorable that when death drew near, Ancus Martius called his friends together and told them it was his wish that Tarquin be chosen to succeed him as ruler of Rome. As Ancus Martius left two little boys, then mere babies, the people were glad enough to follow the advice of their dying king and proclaim Tarquin as their ruler. There was a wonderful story told of Tarquin at this time, which helped to win favor for him among these simple people, whose faith in signs and omens and whose interpretations of all sorts of sights and sounds in the sky and in the air was something wonderful. It was said that when Tarquin entered Rome for the first time, an eagle swooped down from among the clouds, circled round and round the head of Tarquin, and finally, seizing his cap, flew with it high among the clouds again. Soon the bird returned, circled round and round Tarquin as before, then placed the cap back upon his head. The wife of Tarquin, who was what in those days we should call a fortune teller, consulted the stars and declared that this was an omen from the gods, that someday Tarquin would be raised high among the Roman people. This story and the desire on the part of the Romans always to carry out whatsoever seemed to them as the slightest desire of the gods, together with their much-loved king's request, made it very easy for Tarquin to secure to himself the throne. There were many who prophesied ill fortune and tyranny to the Roman people from placing one not a Roman upon the throne. Tarquin was accused of having deceived the old sick king, and of being governed by selfish motives and a desire to raise his own family into prominence. Tarquin, however, proved to be, in spite of it all, a very good king. He ruled firmly and wisely and held the interests of the people close at heart. Perhaps he is best known as he who walled up the Tiber, thus preventing the annual overflow which had been so disastrous in the homes and the farms of the people. He had great drains put into the city, built many public buildings, and in every way improved the city from year to year. But all this time the little sons of Ancus Martius had been growing up, and were now strong, brave youths, accomplished in all the arts of war and educated in all affairs of state. "These lads should be kings of Rome," said some. "Tarquin has no right to hold the throne from these youths," said others. "It is what he always intended to do. It is just what we always said he would do," said others still. "Let him alone. He is ruling wisely and well. Wait until the youths are a little older. Do you not see that Tarquin has educated them always in affairs of state, and that he intends to make them kings when it is time?" Whether Tarquin did intend to hold the throne in his own line or not, we at this time can hardly tell. Histories differ, and from the meager and scanty records of the times, it's hard to judge fairly. At any rate, we know that while he did reign, Tarquin reigned well. But we also know that the time came when, at the head of a large army, the two youths fell upon Tarquin and killed him, intending to take what they thought was their rightful position, rulers over Rome.